What can't wait? What can't wait in your life? What is something that is so deep inside of you that you go, I have to have that now? That my life is desperate for it. That my soul longs for it. That our world is in absolute desperation for. What can't wait? Can hope wait? Is hope something that is just a luxury? Or just a wish? Or just some sort of fancy that we might have that's just like, well, yeah, I hope for that, but it's never actually going to happen. Is hope something that's false? Or is hope the very thing that carries us forward throughout all of life? Is hope innocent? Or is hope built out of resilience and perseverance? Is hope something that we just sort of cast aside and say, that's something for kids, occasionally for adolescents, but we adults, we know better than the hope. What if hope can't wait? What if hope is the very thing that your life and our world needs more than anything in the world right now? I want you to think about this scripture text. I want you to think about what those three students just read to us about chaos and let there be light. I want you to think about this text in Isaiah that talks about, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Many people shall come and want to go to God's mountain. I don't know about you, but here in Colorado, on a typical Sunday morning, most people do not want to come to this mountain. They want to go to those mountains, right? Yeah, totally. I feel that. I sense that. Luckily, I'm paid to be here on Sunday morning, so that's not my choice. But part of it for us is that we have these choices in life, don't we? Do I come here? Do I go there? There's that sporting thing that I got to go to, right? There's the kids' stuff, the grandkids' stuff, right? Yeah, there's a lot of things competing for our attention and for our time. And sometimes we can begin to believe that these are in competition with one another rather than something that God is in all of it. God's obviously, I hope you think obviously here in this room, God's clearly in those mountains. If you've ever watched your kid or grandkid play in a sport or be on stage or have a musical instrument in hand or whatever it is, you know that that's just divine right there. And yet, there's this vision right here in Isaiah that tells us about a whole bunch of people gathering together to come before God together. And not only are they doing that, they're doing something that's even more audacious. They are beating their weapons into instruments to farm the land. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that in the context of Isaiah. I want you to think about that in the context of a world that was at war when this was written, in a time when conquering was all that the people understood and knew, that the armies of Assyria and then Babylon and then Persia and then the Greeks and then the Romans after them had come into the land, and the only thing that mattered was, can you actually beat your plowshares back into swords rather than swords in the plowshares. That every instrument that you could find needed to become a weapon to defend yourself rather than something to cultivate the land. And then I want you to bring yourself all the way forward in the life into 2025. And I want you to think about our world. And I want you to begin to consider that if this prophecy in Isaiah seems so out of reach for them, how much more for us? How much more in a world of nuclear war, of biological weapons, of massive amounts of drones that have numbers that we can't even fathom, of AI that is at work in and around all of this as well. And I want you to think about, as you come to a text like this, a world that is often on the brink, that's right on the edge, that's a hairpin, that's a trigger away from absolute violence. And I want you to come to a text and go, do I believe that? Do I believe that there's a God in Zion, that the word's going to go out, that God's going to judge between the nations, and that they shall beat their swords in the plowshares and the spears in the pruning hooks, their nuclear missiles into, I don't know, maybe houses, right? That biological weapons will cease, instead we'll use all of that to create more crops. Or maybe pull water out of thin air. Oh, wait a minute. We actually can do that, can't we, today? See, there's this world that's described 2,500 years ago, and we're still living in it. We're still living right on that teetering edge between hope and despair. Between promise and peril. And we are tempted at any moment into such cynicism in our world, in our lives, to maybe go, you know what, hope, that's a childish dream. But what if hope can't wait? What if hope is the very thing that makes it all turn and transform and change? What if this world needs you and I to be the kind of people who walk out of here today and go, I have hope. I embody hope. There's a member here at Grace who in the 80s worked with all of our nuclear protocol in and around the United States and with presidents. And this person has told me multiple times, we did not think that the world was going to exist a few years from then. That the inevitability of nuclear war was a foregone conclusion. That there was no way that the two superpowers of the world, that they were going to blink, that they were going to back down, that there was any hope for the future. And this member looked at me and said, it was not until the very day that the Soviet Union fell that any of us believed that that was even possible. Possible. There was a time when every expert in our world believed that this was the end of the book, friends. And here we are, all of these years later. Here we sit in a world that could not be imagined at that point in history. And that point in history has existed multiple times over. When Isaiah wrote these words, the people that are hearing them could not imagine a world where these empires weren't in charge of the world, where the Assyrians weren't the ones who had literally taken everyone into captivity, where the Babylonians weren't the most brutal people on the planet up to that point. They could not imagine a world that was any other way. What if you and I allow space for imagination? What if you and I allow space for a different kind of future? What if whatever inevitability that you and I believe, or whatever cynicism we have decided to resort ourselves to, isn't actually what happens next? What if God is at work? What if there is a God who's about to bring something new on scene? What if there's a God who decides to go from up there or out there or beyond or not caring to being right here beside you and me in the room? What if that is what Advent is really all about? What if you and I start this journey going, something magical, miraculous, and amazing is going to happen at the end of this month. And it's going to change me, and it's going to change you, and it's going to change everything and everyone. What if? What if the most defiant and resistant and revolutionary thing that you can and I can do is to hope and believe in a different future, a different ending, a different kind of destination for ourselves and for our world? What if every time you and I turn on the radio or Spotify or music of whatever app you decide to use, and you hear those familiar Christmas songs this time of year, that it's not just nostalgia, but instead, it is the very ignition, the little flick of a flame to turn it all around. What if our world simply needs you to hope and to believe it? To believe that the world can be and will be different than what it is right now. What if all of the cares and concerns that you brought in here today, that you have dutifully written on your card, by the way, what if all of those end up becoming something that lands in the second category? That on tomorrow, something changes about those cares and concerns and they become celebrations, blessings, joys in our life? What if the cares and concerns that I bring into this world, I discover, get transformed because someone out there in my world looks at me, smiles at me, holds me, comes alongside of me, helps me, serves with me, and lifts me in gratitude? What if there's someone in my life that I go, God's already working through them, and I want to invite them into these things that I see God doing in my life and in their lives? What if writing on a card today is your first act of hope? Your first shift of the narrative? Your first transformative act? What if you and I both overcome our cynicism and go, I'm actually going to write something on this piece of paper this morning? What happens when I plant those seeds of hope and write them down, put them out in the universe, hold it up to God and go, I know you're going to do something with this today? What if you turned in that card and lit a candle at one of those candle stations and say, God, I don't fully believe. I don't fully hope. I am full of cynicism and skepticism. But maybe, just maybe, this card, this candle, this prayer, this act can be one step towards the rebirth of Jesus Christ in me, in our church, in our community, in our world. That's the opportunity that you and I have this morning on this first Sunday of Advent. I'm going to invite the band to come this morning. As they are coming, I want you to consider, what does it mean for us to have hope for ourselves, for our world, for everyone?